today on Telling the Truth, we join Jill for her message, Heart Cry. God made you for himself for all of eternity. But how does that impact how you live life here on earth in this season of your life? Jill explains coming up. As we get ready to close out another year of ministry at Telling the Truth, your partnership is more vital than ever to keep sharing Stuart and Jill's wit and wisdom in the year ahead and beyond. And when you give today, your support will be doubled by a $120,000 matching grant. We'll say thanks for your gift with a copy of the Best of 2023, featuring the Briscoes' most loved messages from this year. So call today to have your year-end gift matched and request your copy of the Best of 2023. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's today's message.
You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Indeed, you should say, if it's the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. Planning on a move? Planning on going to this or that city and do business? Have you referred to God? All that you do, says James, all this boasting and bragging, we're going to go here, we're going to do this, and we're going to choose a career for ourselves, is evil. Not even ill-advised. Evil. Because the whole point, the whole thing, is that we should know God and enjoy him forever. Remember hearing about a little boy who was being catechized, and the teacher said, what is the chief end of man? And incidentally, that question from the catechism comes from this passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. What is the chief end of man? And the little boy said, please, sir, I think it is to fear God and endure him forever. And I think that's what some Christians think it is. To fear God and enjoy him forever. Do you enjoy your Christianity? Do you enjoy your relationship with God? There is no true joy without ordering our lives after the God of order. So don't let your heart be distracted by time and its toys. Life is brief. Life is boring. Life is boring. You can read this in chapter 1. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? Everything's so weary and tiresome. Round and round it goes, like the sun goes round the world, like the waters start in the rivers, are taken up and make clouds and come back down again. The daily round and round and round. So boring. Life is brief. Life is boring. One day when I had the twins with me, when they were smaller, David and Christy, I was lying them on pieces of paper and drawing around them just for fun, trying to find something to occupy them. And Christy was lying down, and I said, now I'm going to draw around her, and then we'll color her in, and then I'm going to draw around David and color him in. So I'd only just started around the top of their head down to here, and David, who was watching intently, and Christy, who was lying like this, David says to Christy, is this boring? I thought, I've only just started, and they're bored. New parents, new grandparents know that word, don't you? How many times do you hear your kids say, it's boring? Now, life is not intended to be boring. That is not on God's agenda for us. The good things of life, like crafts and drawing and just the normal things, the eating, the drinking, the working, the labor, that's a theme all the way through this book. This is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Not only our relationship with God, but our relationship with the family, with each other. The good, simple things of life. People have forgotten to enjoy the simple things of life. They think they need the bells and whistles, let me tell you. Let Solomon tell you. He had more bells and whistles than anybody in the world. God said before him or would have after him. And he comes to the end and he says, it's all meaningless. I surveyed everything. It's all meaningless. No point to it. And then he says, life is brief, life is boring, and life is a bear. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. But somebody put eternity in my heart, says Solomon. Somebody gave me the gift of time, though brief, to realize it. Somebody whispered to my soul that I was made for another world. And though I live my life this side of the front door of forever, somehow I know that somebody is home in the universe and is waiting to ask me, what on earth were you doing? Will I answer, I was chasing the wind? Will I hear him say, that's not exactly what I had in mind for you? Or shall it be, I will answer him, Lord God, as best I know how, I feared you and kept your commandments. For that is the reason you created and redeemed me, and that is my chief end and my highest joy. My highest joy. My highest joy. I think it was Irma Bombeck, that wonderful theologian, who said, if life is a bowl of cherries, what am I doing in the pits? That's a good line. There is a certain rhythm to life. Time to die, a time to be born, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Not that God said there's a good time to mourn, there's a good time to kill, there's a good time to hate. That was not his intention. It's what we did. We are living on this timeline in a period called after the fall with a sinful nature. That was not what God planned. That was not what God intended. But there is a rhythm to the life he has allowed us to live in order that we might have a chance to find him, to know him, and to enjoy him. There's a rhythm to it. And for some, it's a bowl of cherries. And for some of you, it's the pits. And some of you have come here in a pain pit today, or a problem pit, or a pressure pit, or a pity pit, or a penury pit. I'm collecting pits. I had a man tell me in tears, a deacon in a church in Europe, my daughter has broken my heart. She's fallen in love with a girl. They've moved in together. I had a grandmother tell me, my heart is broken. There's been a divorce. My children live 3 blocks away, but I'm not allowed to see them, my grandchildren. So I go to the grocery store hoping that I'll bump into them sometime. It's the pits. That's a parent pit. For some, it's the pits. For some, it's a bowl of cherries. And some of you are here and you're celebrating and it's bright and it's juicy and it's great. Well, wait a bit. Around the corner of tomorrow, because there is a rhythm of life and time and chance, and that word means events, and it's a negative word, happen to everybody, the good and the bad. God sends his rain on the just and the unjust. But I want to tell you something. God comes to our pits, as well as our bowl of cherries. He comes to our bowl of cherries and he says, you can't even enjoy them unless I give you the gift and the power to enjoy the good things of life. You need to be connected to me, even to enjoy the wealth and the good blessings that God gives you. But I will come to your pit and I will stay there with you. And you will find, incredibly, you will know joy. Because we're living in the grace place. It says in Ecclesiastes 5:18, then I realized it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives me wealth and possessions, and there's three things here, when God gives me, notice not you making it, God gives you, the power to get wealth, the Bible says. When God gives any man wealth and possessions, number one, enables him to enjoy them. You can't do that all by your little self, apart from knowing God. Enables him to enjoy. Number two, to accept his lot in life. Number three, and be happy in his work. This is a gift of God. Another verse. It's a gift of God that every man to whom he has granted wealth and riches and the power to enjoy them, same verse but a different translation, should accept his lot and rejoice in his labor. Contentment, absent in our world and too often absent in the church. Paul said, I'm content with such things as I have, for he has said he will never leave me nor forsake me. And joy is the present presence of God. Joy is Jesus, God in Galilean cloth, making my heart smile.
This is Telling the Truth, and today Joel Briscoe is sharing how God created you to know Him and enjoy Him for all of eternity. In just a moment, she talks about your priorities here on earth when you have eternity in mind. But first, we've got some exciting news to share with you. Some generous friends who love God's Word and want to see it shared with more people around the world have come forward with a $120,000 matching grant that will double your gift this month to keep Stuart and Jill's teaching going out through Telling the Truth. This generous match means whatever you give today will be worth twice as much to share timeless and unchanging truth with more people around the world in 2024 and beyond, helping them experience life in Christ. As thanks for your support this month, we'll send you a copy of The Best of 2023, which includes the most loved teachings this year. And remember, your year-end gift is worth double thanks to the $120,000 match to keep sharing the life-changing truth of God's love with people across the globe through the resources and teaching of Telling the Truth. So be sure to request your copy of The Best of 2023 when you give today. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app. Let's go back now to Joel Briscoe.
I remember at my mother-in-law's funeral, we sang her favorite hymn. It was the hymn she discovered the day after she was saved. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something gleams in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with sweeter songs o'erflow, earthborn's beauties shine. Since I know as now I know that I am His and He is mine. And the good things graced with His presence, and even the bad things graced with His presence. He comes to the pit and He enables us to enjoy the bowl of cherries. And when God came to earth in Christ, when He walked in our fields and He sat at our tables, when He wore our clothes and He went to our weddings and He cried at our funerals, when He visited our pits and our bowl of cherries, He wanted us to know joy. This summer, I sat in a room in some Asian country, which shall be nameless, with 38 pastors' wives. It was the pastor's bedroom. They'd closed his church down. Sat on a hard floor, 6 hours a day. And they told me this was the first biblical teaching they had ever received. When I came back, I wrote, "Those sweet women know the difference between hardship and inconvenience. Do we? Happily, though not without tears, they count ministry a privilege, not a punishment. They don't whine, and they show up at church, even if it means 2 hours walking to get there. I had a ministry of presence, silence, and tears, and it changed me, and hopefully my soul will never return to its original shape." I don't think it will. From their eyes, He beckoned me. From their lives, His love was shed till I lost sight of them and saw the Christ instead. And I have pictures. You can come and see them. I have them in the back of my file right here. Oh, the joy. Everybody I've shown these pictures to said, "Look at their faces." I asked them what was hard about ministry in their situation. And they said, "No salary." "Would you work without salary? Would you be dependent on the church supplying your needs?" "That's hard," they said. "But oh, what a privilege to suffer with the suffering church. And the joy of salvation takes care of the rest." And incidentally, joy is an evangelist. Once in Africa, I was walking along a path, and a group of Africans came, and the African church is a singing church. And a group was coming, and they were singing, and the people with me said, "Oh, they're Christians." You always know when the Christians are coming, they're always singing. Singing as they go to the well, singing as they work in the fields. Singing! And joy is an evangelist. Because when those particular people in that particular part of Africa want to become a believer, do you know what they say? They don't say, "I want to join the church." They don't say, "I want to go into new members class." They don't say, "I believe." They don't even say, "I'm converted." They say, "I want to sing." Wow. Why do they say that? Because all they can see all over the Christian's life is joy. And incidentally, this is in one of the poorest of the poor African nations. I want to sing. I want to be like that. I want to know how these people can sing sitting in this rotting village with garbage thrown out of their houses that's never, ever been collected. What have they got to sing about? Jesus. The joy of their salvation. Joy as an evangelist. When we sang my favorite song at the moment, "Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart." When we sang that, I thought of where we sang it. In Jerusalem, in the middle of the bombings. And I looked around at the Messianic church that were singing that song. And I said, "Stuart, they are dancing to the beat of his heart. Look at their faces. Just look at their faces. Do you know this joy? This is the whole thing. This is the point. This is what it's all about. And it comes when you fear God. How can fear and joy mix? It's a mystery. But fear really means you stand in awe of him. And the reading that we had said what to do when you go into the house of God. You go to listen, not to offer the sacrifice of fools with your mouth. And when you've listened, you will hear something from the one shepherd that we read about in chapter 12, which will make your heart dance, whether you're in the cherries or in the pits. And joy comes when we live rightly before God and we please him. And the old devil's a killjoy. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he wants to rob you of God, and he wants to rob God of you. And too many Christians live in fear. We expect people that don't know the Lord to live in fear, to be looking here and there for external security instead of internal security and eternal security, which is the only security that enables you to live and sleep well. There is a marvelous verse in the scriptures. Let me read it to you. Ecclesiastes 2:22. "What does a man gain for all the toil and anxious striving with which he's laboring under the sun? All his days, his work, his pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is frustrating." And do you know what that literally means? His body lies down, but his mind sits up. Wow. His body lies down. Has that ever happened to you? That's because your mind and your heart and your life and the chief end of it is the gifts that God has given you and not the God that gave you the gifts. Who can sleep well? The one who's been forgiven. The one who's been forgiven much. The one who's been restored to God, who's fallen away. You won't lie down with your body and your mind sit up. And the old devil will try and make it that way, but it doesn't need to be. And we can banish fear. That's what that verse says. Banish means dispel, send away. Under the authority, the dictionary says, to send away under the authority of the local government. Well, we have a local government. And the government of God can dispel fear, dispel anxiety, so that you can lie down and your mind doesn't immediately sit up worrying. What Solomon said is your mind sits up worrying about what you're going to do with all these wonderful things that you're leaving to some idiot that's going to blow it all when you've gone. Says that's what causes people not to sleep. Well, I've spent my life making all of this, and who's going to, and what they're going to do with it afterwards? Said you don't need to worry about that. because God keeps you occupied by gladness of heart. Wonderful verse. What are you occupied with? Gladness of heart? Your past is forgiven and your present is full and your future is assured. You can lie down with your body and put your mind to sleep in his arms. That's how it works. And there's joy. Now, I don't know where you are on the timeline. Maybe you're in overtime. I remember struggling with my 50th birthday. My husband said, were you born at the right time? Yes. Have you been living at the right pace? Yes. Then you'll be dead on time, he said. Doesn't that help, Jill?
No.
So how are we going to spend it? Fearing him? Obeying him? Enjoying him? Or chasing the wind? Incredibly, the choice is ours.
Will you spend your time chasing the wind or enjoying God? Jill Briscoe closing out her message, Heart Cry, here on Telling the Truth. But she'll be right back with encouragement if you find yourself in a tough season of life. If today's teaching is blessing you, then we have an exciting offer to tell you about. We've pulled together six of the most loved teachings from the Briscoes this year and a special resource called The Best of 2023 that we'd love to send you today as thanks for your gift to help close out 2023 strong. Revisit some of the most powerful messages you've heard this year and be reminded of God's amazing love for you all year long with this special collection. And thanks to a generous $120,000 matching grant, whatever you give today will be doubled to help send the timeless teaching of truth around the world, trusting God to change lives in the year ahead. It's partners like you who make it possible to share messages like this one today with people across the globe. So if you haven't given before, consider a gift today worth double thanks to the match to help God's word going out around the world to you and many others. And remember to request your copy of The Best of 2023 when you call and give. Just call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Here's Jill now to go a little deeper with a few thoughts from today's message. Jill, unfortunately, in life, there is a time to mourn. What would you say to that person who's mourning right now?
Perhaps you are mourning the death of a loved one. Perhaps you're mourning the death of a child or a friend. And you're sad beyond belief. It's a sadness that nothing else is like. A black sadness, right? It's so final. I think that's what I found, standing at the bedside of my mom and my dad and all those people, my friends. You know, it's wonderful growing old, but it means you go to an awful lot of funerals, especially of those people that you've known and loved. And the difference that I've observed as a pastor's wife for 30 years and spent many times in hospices seeing people die, being with people when they die, and watching the relatives, the difference when you know Christ is startling at this point because you know this isn't the end. And I'd like to talk to those of you that don't quite know if your loved one found Jesus or knew Jesus and you're haunted by, where are they? Did you pray for them? You have to believe that somehow, whether you saw it or not, whether you were there or not, God answered your prayers. I had an experience like that with one of my close relatives, and I never knew, and I went and I met the person, the caregiver that was there. And she told me a marvelous story of how that relative, through the doctor who was seeing to her, had come to Christ literally on her deathbed. And I think God let me have that experience to be able to tell all of us, and myself included, I have to believe that God is going to answer my prayers for my loved ones, whether I am sitting by the bedside or not to experience it. I will. And just pray in faith and trust makes a huge difference. So if you're mourning because you're worried about where your loved ones are, believe. You ask me, I'll do it, he said.
So just start, relax, give it to him, and believe that you're going to see them the other side of death.
Thanks, Jill. Before you go, we want to remind you of the $120,000 matching grant that will double your gift this month to send the timeless teaching of truth around the world through telling the truth. And when you give, we'll send you the Best of 2023 series with this year's most loved teachings. These encouraging messages will keep you reminded of God's love all next year. So please request your copy when you call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for listening today. Come back next time for more solid biblical truth that will help you experience life. That's next time here on Telling the Truth.